당좀 가상 아주 가래시 버려라는 당하는 좀 지기 동화 먹어야 돼 아주 먹어야 동화를 해야 돼 동화 여야 돼 아니 제 동화 되기는 규단 진실에 되네 용구를 마도 규단 진 매발라 용구로 말했어 지난다 디기세에 대한 규단 진실에 되는 주고를 마도 규단 진 매발라 용구로 말해지래 되네에서 당하는 규단 진 동화세에 규단 진 가는 때는 용구를 해야 现在来的人没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把谁的人家就没把 지. 다 디콜 동화연 여기 디디스. 제단데 레단 요모바 빵요디 간스 빵고레라나 디도 쇼라나 저기 삼분나야 나지. 주림 손야레 저바코미야 튼디 좀야디게 언두신 제바이나 아니 예 대소기 개화사고 디스 동화 디기요야 규디레세. 언두시제. 안데 디나지다 안데 레다 뇽모바세데 뇽모스는 유단기메 발로 용고마레 제조네 자와 가릴디네 용고레세데 랑치세 랑제바 랑제바 심베 다도 심베 다신세시오 레스텔레디네 기고레스 디아즈 뇽모바 탐제 용야게 자와디 디레세데 난 다신세디 안에 디메와세고레스 디메와세발라네 간데소레스네 삼로 간데땅고레스네 다메바토 비셰랍세디 요레스 지자 담이 것도 비셔럽 띵어줄파 계주 마계반의 계주 계사와디야 몽 권에 검체의 권에고도 폐제네 되고 다세네 방고레스 메라스요고레스 지자단 안도 동어여 규디 뇽모발레다 뇽모발레 뇽모바디야 자와 다센세리 아무도 삼론의 셈 삼론의 디요 디 땅아도 방고고레스 디 동어여 규디레스 지자단 안도 디유여 규디 는 추침소야 진바 세바 존르 삼대 셰랍 냠는 대순 냠는 제야디 아주 네 잠바단 지위기 에스 냠는 제야디 아주 디기요 규제 대순 아주 냠는 제고래 세데 당 아주 삼론 날 바 예와 마선이 예 예와 체네 어두 지나 가서 가서 디고를 쉬고로 하다
Good morning. Yesterday we continued to look at our text. We looked in particular at the causes that lead to all our unwanted circumstances, the problems, difficulties, and suffering experiences that seem to befall us. Sometimes it feels like they rain down on us, befalling on us continuously. But these suffering experiences we looked at yesterday, they only come about in dependence on causes. And this is also the case with the happiness, experiences of happiness we encounter, as well as longed for, stable, lasting happiness. This too comes about in dependence on causes. The process of the accumulation of causes that leads to the result, the experience of suffering, is through the power of our afflicted minds, such as anger, attachment, pride, and jealousy. We accumulate karma, and this karma then ripens by a ripening condition of a further affliction, and ripens in rebirth, continuous rebirth in samsara. This is something to reflect on, because to the extent we come to see this, will give rise to determination, I must abandon the afflictions and karma in order to bring an end to suffering. And accompanying this, we also looked at yesterday and previous to yesterday, how the method to abandon suffering and gain happiness also comes about in dependence on causes. Those causes too are mental in that they are virtuous karma, virtuous karma that comes from virtuous ways of thinking, wholesome ways of thinking. And in particular yesterday, we looked at in the ninth verse that the root cause of all our suffering is the chronic disease of grasping at oneself as dear, or more commonly expressed and here should be understood as the ignorance of self-grasping. This consciousness that apprehends the I to exist in the way that it appears. And the way that it appears is contrary to how to reality. Therefore, it's an ignorance. And from this ignorance, all our other afflictions, such as anger and attachment, pride and jealousy, arise, and karma is created. So we identified yesterday the root cause of all our suffering. And that being the root cause requires us to cultivate a particular antidote, the direct antidote. And that is the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the wisdom realizing selflessness. The wisdom that realizes that the self does not exist in the way that it appears, that the I is empty of existing in the way that it appears. And to the extent that we can develop this wisdom, it will weaken and eventually eradicate the ignorance of self-grasping. And when that root cause is eradicated, the whole chain of events is severed. Because without a root cause, no afflictions can follow, and therefore no contaminated, unwholesome karma can be accumulated. And then lastly, yesterday we also looked at, in order to support the wisdom realizing emptiness, we need to also cultivate the other virtuous minds that had been previously mentioned, such as ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, love, compassion, and so forth. So that in brief is what we looked at yesterday. We looked at what is meant by self-grasping yesterday, but just to briefly recap this. The first step is to recognize how the I appears. And the I appears as if it is independent or disconnected or separate from the body and mind. It appears as if it doesn't have a relationship with the body and mind. It appears separate from it. So this is how the I or the self appears to us. Then a consciousness grasps at that appearance as being true, as being how the I actually exists. But in reality, the I does not exist in this way. The I is not independent of the aggregates. Therefore, this consciousness that grasps at the I as existing the way that it appears, as this appearance being true, this consciousness is an ignorance. And that is the ignorance of self-grasping. And this ignorance of self-grasping is the root cause of all our suffering, because from it come our afflictions and accumulation of karma that keeps us bound in samsara. I did this year.
Pumbola, Matuba, Rangon, Jubig, and Nadi, Mebade, Da Mebalore. Jason D. Topig, Pumbola, Matuba, Rangon, to be Daddy, Minua, Sampig, Hako, and Lotel, Topu, Lotel, Da Mebato, like a
How the I exist in reality is that it is merely labeled or imputed or designated by mind onto the aggregates or onto the body and or mind. This is how the I exists. But it's not how the I appears to us. The I appears to us not as being dependent on labeling, but rather as independent of the body and mind. This I does not exist, or the I does not exist in this way. When we investigate and come to realize again and again that the I does not, or the self does not exist in the way that it appears, we realize selflessness or non-self. We express it differently. When we realize that the I is empty of existing in the way that it appears, we realize emptiness. And this wisdom realizing selflessness or emptiness, or this consciousness realizing selflessness or emptiness, is a wisdom because it is in accordance with reality. Unlike the consciousness that it is directly contrary to, which is an ignorance, grasping at the self as existing in the way that it appears. That then concludes a brief review of what we looked at yesterday. So then continuing with the 10th verse. Every single pain and misfortune has arisen through the doorway of unending birth, aging, sickness and death. The cyclic existence that is like a pit of blazing fire. This is the time, this is the occasion to abandon it, Champaljak. All human beings and animals having a body experiences tremendous amounts of physical pain and discomfort. So this we know from our own lived experience and what we observe in the world. And the causes through which pain and illness comes are wide and varied. When the weather is a little cold, we suffer. When the weather's a bit too hot, we suffer. When we haven't eaten, we suffer. When we've eaten too much, we suffer. When we've eaten the wrong thing, we suffer. If we encounter tiny insects, such as mosquitoes, we suffer. This is the case for humans. It's certainly the case in the animal world as well. So in dependence on having this body, we experience so much pain and misery. Where does this body come from? As we saw yesterday, it comes from karma and afflictions. Karma that has been accumulated under the power of afflictions and then is ripened through the conditions of further afflictions leads to this body being taken. What's important to recognize here with the sequence is once again it's being pointed out that we are in the situation we are, not causelessly, not just through bad luck, but independence on causes, we have this body that experiences pain and misfortune. So it's having this body, this body that is bound within the samsaric experience, that we pass through the doorway by which suffering is experienced. And as we looked at yesterday, the root cause of this problem is the ignorance of self-grasping. This ignorance of self-grasping is the root cause of this entire sequence of events which keeps forcing us through this doorway, and we remain bound in the suffering realms of samsara. So therefore, independence on having this body that was accumulated, that was acquired due to karma and afflictions which arose from the root cause of ignorance of self-grasping, we suffer. Every single pain and misfortune has arisen through the doorway of unending birth, aging, sickness, and death. Here, the key word at the start of the line is unending. Throughout this life, from birth, throughout this period of aging, which starts immediately after birth, up to now, and through what continues of this life and until death comes, having this body, we encounter suffering. We experience suffering experience upon suffering experience. And this has, whilst this has been a period that is an unending experience in this one life, it was also the case in the life immediately previous to this, and the life previous to that, and so forth. Unendingly, having a body that is bound within the suffering realms of samsara, we've been experiencing suffering from the moment of birth, through the whole process of aging, repeatedly experiencing illnesses, and then dying. We find ourselves trapped in this position alongside all ordinary beings because the cause that has led us to be in this position is unknown. It has not been abandoned. And without knowing the cause, it will be impossible to know to be able to abandon the cause. Hence, we have remained bound in these suffering realms.
Ane me barbe obje kowa dis ane sere tangan jigle ya jikyo mero jibashin meni jik chimbo jik opse de denigas sa tu che den ma kong I kong ro se tel ya ji me shi u ju ba ju ba na di me di gan ya dro ba ne gidi na ju sha ya ma ro ba pen de jik su bo la chan na za da da ke jik dung an yo ji ba de ju ska yo ngung ma ro ba di na shi nga zo le da nyu mo wa yo ko wi je wa len bi gi nga zo gi je wa ko wi je wa di da ko wa se di de ni gi me ba wi op na shi se es a zo me ba wi op di gan ro na ji wi nga ska mi no wa kedi na kangaru dunga yuwa chiruwa. Di na xing adu kowa lupa jewa le chinche la, ane kedi na dunga zinda kangaru yuwa ya yinbar mato, anzi kangaru tingi dewa ya ta, tenige zao gino yuwa ya yuwa ma resu waroko.
The cyclic existence, that the third line, the cyclic existence that is like a pit of blazing fire. So cyclic existence, or the Sanskrit word of samsara, this is where we find ourselves lost and bound here. When we look well, we recognize it is like, as in this analogy, like being trapped in a deep pit of blazing fire. One can imagine if one is were to find oneself in such position, no moment of peace, no moment of pleasure could be experienced. And this is what it is like to be in samsara, in that we continue to remain trapped in a deep pit of uncontrolled rebirth. Life after life, we continue to be reborn in this deep pit, experiencing suffering upon suffering, without being able to attain a state of lasting happiness.
Da me ba cheba che da me ba to bi she ra ji ju che an de ne ge ji che ni ko ya ni ba kong ba de kong chi ne da du de len po shi se du di ren jing nyam ne ji ko ho yo ba de ne ge su su le du ju yo ba da ko ho yo tin jin cha sang sa du bi de yu di ka ba di ren ne song che de ne ge nyam ne ji ha ko wa che che du chi ne nyam ne ji ji ya ko wa le ma ho ba de gyu ne ji me ba de da de ne bong ho re gyu di ji gyu di bong ho re so re.
The verse concludes, this is the time, this is the occasion to abandon a champaldrak. Here, Ganagyato is saying to his heart disciple, in this life, you have met the Dharma, you've met a teacher who has presented to you the reasons why you are bound in suffering, why life after life, you've remained bound in the blazing pit of fire that is samsara, lost in pain. This life, you have met a teacher who has pointed out to you the reasons why you are there, and moreover, the direct antidote to that root cause of suffering. Do not delay. This is the time to practice. This is the time to train your mind. Here we're being encouraged once again to recognize that we are bound in samsara. And as long as we are bound in samsara, it's likened to being in this pit of blazing embers, because there is no hope of lasting happiness. No lasting happiness can be found whilst one is bound in samsara. But our situation is no longer hopeless, because we've come to recognize why we are here, that it's due to the ripening of contaminated karma that is ripened by the afflictions and was previously accumulated under the power of afflictions. And those afflictions have as their root cause the ignorance of self-grasping. The very heart of the process is this ignorance of self-grasping. Not only have we come to hear about this, but we've heard that it can be brought to an end. This ignorance of self-grasping that is at the heart of the process can be removed. And if the root cause is severed, the whole process dissolves. And in this way, through cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness, we come to recognize that this prison of samsara is self-constructed by our afflictions. These chains that bind us are mental. They are just afflictions. So therefore, by transforming our mind, these chains which are just consciousness are dissolved, are eradicated. Let's look then at the sequence of trainings to engage in, to attain liberation from suffering. First, we'll look at, as I mentioned yesterday, we need to reflect well on the faults of samsara, leading to a disenchantment, a disillusionment with samsara. And with this comes a burning desire for freedom from these chains of suffering. And the thought will arise, how can freedom be attained? Who can guide me to gain freedom from these chains? That is the three jewels. And this then serves as a motivation for a practitioner of the Dharma, not just merely a Buddhist, but someone who is striving to transform their mind. This process of thinking is what leads them to go for sincere refuge to the three jewels.
And lambdeng gar che del pha la gu gu re se da di la gu se de chi na da kan sa la gu re se na san ji gi lu nga yi su mi ne ju do mu gu re sung gu re chi da lu nga yi su mi ne ju do ba sung na ji ne lu nga yi su mi ko ne xia le ne bi sa wa chi me se me sam lo shi da ru wa da an di thon ne de ding yi lu no che ge so da che ba tam je ge xia le pe chi pa dang ji ya gun ju le che bo pu ya da xia le pa ne jin ba da ya la so ba du xi ne ge xia le ya du xi yin yin se be ge sam lo shi da ya da di kyu tazi maripad pongo du tar daha sayada kani tuwe mindu cheba chene chene kansam chilya da ganglai madyo pa ke da rangwe ni jubi da sayada zawa ki di mindu waa sanpe ki samla shi tongyo di da mebe tobe shirab dingi nyamlin chi yin sanpe ki da maa jubi loli ya dik nyamlin chi jen ngu gongfe da tango ya diki tanda du si di suriye sayaji di sungurwa
Have been generated then confident trust in the three jewels. One will move, one will rely on one's spiritual teacher with a heart that's open and yearning for instruction on how to transform one's mind. And with this open heart and yearning attitude, one will receive the instructions with delight and strive to put them into practice, to cultivate them again and again in one's mind, becoming ever more habituated to this way of thinking one has been guided to develop. And one will be guided to develop the indispensable foundation of ethical restraint of one's body, speech and mind. We're taking responsibility for one's mind, ensuring it doesn't come under the influence of afflictions, but rather stays virtuous. Secondly, cultivating generosity, the wish to give up oneself, which can be expressed through material generosity, giving of fearlessness, giving of the Dhamma. Here, so there we, especially now with sincere, heartfelt faith in the three jewels, one would make offerings to the three jewels and in varying ways accumulate virtue in order to speed our spiritual transformation. And thirdly, one will be trained in patience, which is the commitment to ensure that one's mind stays undisturbed in the face of adversity, and that one, that seeing that a response of under the influence of the afflictions is inappropriate because it brings harm to others. And fourthly, one is will be trained in joyous perseverance, generating an attitude that delights in virtue, looking at one's spiritual development, delighting in one's progress, where one sees that one can do better, again generating enthusiasm so that one can continue to develop. And fifthly, training concentration, making the mind more stable, less distracted, more focused. And with such a mind, one is developing the required basis to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, where one looks at this entire process again and again, the suffering that I long to be freed from, where does this come from? And we recognize this process of this an intertwined relationship of karma and afflictions, and we recognize that the root cause is the ignorance of self-grasping. Seeing this process, to the extent we see this process, to the extent it becomes vivid and clear to us, our determination to abandon it will grow. And that determination is indispensable because it drives us to meditate on the topic and to keep it in mind out of meditation. In this way, we embark on this journey of coming to recognize that the I does not exist in the way that it appears. It is empty of existing in the way that it appears.
some dini yobaina, and some dini raya digi to a shaya digi to a rashinigal digi yungore, digi to be a gutires, chesanga and the digiukona, denigas some of the rashinigal digi to be a guti, so some of the nishtam or ditone, digi to gures or.
Through these varying steps of the meditations that have just been presented, one's outlook is broadened, one's gaze is lifted way beyond this mere life, way beyond the interactions that we have with others and the encounters of pleasure and pain. We have a far broader a view. In this condensed presentation, the third cluster of steps is to expand one's mind even further, expand one's outlook even further. Here we take the recognition of this yearning to be freed from the pain of samsara that we have cultivated within us, and we recognize that all those around us feel the same. They may well not, unlike ourselves, to have been trained by a skillful teacher. They may well not recognize the extent of suffering in samsara, and they certainly have no idea about the root cause why they suffer, nor its antidote. But they long to be freed from pain too. And whilst I am determined to gain freedom from suffering, liberation from samsara, I am just one suffering sentient being. Around me, and expanding that throughout the realms of existence, are countless suffering beings. And through my reflections on selflessness, I've recognized there is no real difference I can point to between myself and others. All differences that I perceive are merely labeled by mind. They do not exist in the way they appear. How can I therefore justify my happiness as being of great, the achievement of my happiness as being of greater need than others attaining equal happiness? There is no justification. May all these beings, each and every one, those that I know in this life, those that I've known in past lives, all beings, may they abide in happiness, lasting, stable happiness. This is the generation of love. Following the generation of love, one is the obvious recognition that for beings to abide in lasting happiness, they have to be freed of suffering. Here the yearning arises. May all beings without exception, so all beings of course includes oneself, may all beings without exception attain freedom from suffering. And this expression of wanting others to be freed of suffering is now arising in the mind of a practitioner who understands the causes of suffering. So the practitioner here is yearning, may beings be freed of their afflictions, may beings be freed by being controlled by this ignorance of self-grasping. Because it's through gaining freedom from the ignorance of self-grasping, beings will gain freedom from suffering, and my yearning of compassion will be fulfilled.
Jabba, Jambada,
That then is how to cultivate love and compassion. And it comes about independence on those prior meditations. In particular, having given rise to a yearning to be freed from suffering for oneself, and which comes through also recognizing the process that has kept one bound and the process by which we can attain liberation. That is the indispensable foundation to develop love and compassion. All of us, we have the seeds of love and compassion on our continuum. We experience them arising from time to time. But they are weak and they are not sustained. So as with all of these meditations, the process is the same. We need to strengthen habituation to wholesome ways of thinking, in this case love and compassion, and weaken habituation to contrary ways of thinking, those which are of the afflicted minds. And to do so in a way that is deeply transformative. It should not just be a mere expression of aspiration, may I be free from suffering, may all beings be free from suffering, but rather be based on reasons. The more knowledge one has, the more profound the reasons will be, and the more profound the change will be within us. This is a process with all the meditations, and certainly here too. And by engaging in meditation based on reasons repeatedly over a sustained period, these imprints of love and compassion we have will grow in strength and will arise ever more readily, be of greater power and a longer lasting duration. And the way it will be expressed is through a feeling of closeness for others, through having weakened the separation of self and other. The wish will arise, may all beings be happy. May they only accumulate the causes of happiness, the virtuous minds. And may all beings be freed of suffering. May they turn away from the causes of suffering, the afflicted minds. And this will arise in us ever more strongly.
Lunga is nyeje dumbe tsurum sunya de shule yungore wa.
Key point to make here, one that is often missed because the meditations are presented in a sequence, is whilst they are and need to be engaged in the sequence, they are not disconnected or disjointed or unrelated. As one is developing genuine love and compassion for all beings within oneself, this then serves to make our other meditations, which we'll also be doing, that much more powerful. So one will meditate on love and compassion, then in the same session, meditate then on ethics. Your mind on ethics will now grow so much stronger. Because before, ethics was about, I don't want to harm others through my actions of body, speech, and mind. I also, because I know I will also suffer, as will they. Here our love and compassion has grown such in strength, our determination not to harm others will be so much stronger. Because how can I harm someone that I genuinely feel a tender relationship with? How can I harm them? Likewise, the meditation on generosity is now conjoined by ever more powerful love and compassion. So much easier to give of myself to others. So much easier to give of myself no matter what the circumstances. Likewise with patience. Our determination for our mind to stay undisturbed in the face of adversity, that has as its foundation love and compassion. How can I respond with self-interest, with selfishness, to this being I feel tenderness towards? Likewise, the fourth training of joy is perseverance, when conjoined with love and compassion. Our delight in virtue, in particular when we're bringing benefit directly or indirectly into the lives of others, will spur us to strive ever harder. Here the key point that I'm making is that these meditations, whilst one engages in them sequentially, are all interrelated, and as one aspect grows in strength, it impacts on the others too.
Sem Tingi
The further key point I presented in relation to the meditation on love, but it applies to all meditations. When you're meditating on love, using reasons to lead one to the thought, may all beings experience only happiness. May they accumulate only causes that will lead to happiness. May they cultivate ever stronger virtuous minds within them and abide lasting stable happiness. This is the meditation on love. When love arises within one's heart, stop the analytical meditation, stop using reasons, and now just rest your mind on love. And as one does the meditation ever more, love rises ever more powerfully within one, becomes easier to rest on the mental object that is love, the consciousness that is love, because it is more powerful, more obvious to one's mind. And This is an indispensable step in every meditation you do. The illustration is just love. But it serves by resting, through having done analysis, and then resting on the resulting mind of love. You both strengthen your habituation to this virtuous mind of love. And you start to develop your mind of concentration, or your mind becomes ever more concentrated. At first, you'll be able to rest on the mind of love for a few moments, later, quite some seconds, and then some minutes, as one becomes more habituated to reflecting and abiding on love. One's mind also becomes more stable, less distracted. So this is a crucial step, a crucial way to do all the types of meditation and mentioned here to do with love.
Chizon 안지게 미기 통충 당글에 진짜 소소 코로나는 파 카페 주어서 소소기 집 카페 주어 직접 소소를 안지게 통을 하게 돼. 진짜 소소기 파 세워 검제 파기 미 현대 뉴비진에 대해 세워 검제에는 지 미 통충 다야다 소소를 경라에 소소기 된다 말을 두고 말해. 진짜 코로딩 안 줄야 지 지소나로 고해지래서 이게 삼로 코스기로 와드네.
I'll use this opportunity also to say a little more on the meditation on patience. Because patience is often misunderstood because the way it's understood in society is remarkably different from how it's understood in Buddhism. In society, it's often seen as a fault to be patient when others are interacting with you in an aggressive way. If someone is aggressive with you, society will say, you need to stand up for yourself, you need to defend yourself, otherwise you'll be taken advantage of, and people will see they can get away with being aggressive towards you, and see that they can take advantage of you. You need to defend yourself, you need to respond with anger to anger. This is the general understanding in society, and therefore society would see a patient response to aggression as a mistake.
제가 내내기 땅아주 콩으로 소보라지 지내지는 직대실에 내가 들래 접산도 지게 판도 용시 바래데 이내 풀라 니게 뇌 마도 라신이가 뇌 마도 판도스 가용 거 말아 단 지게 콩으로 잡아네 근데 소소 맞기 바샤 세 맞기 바샤 안 지 강아지야 된 샬레 맞기 부셔야지 마도 용 거 말아 제가 내내기 세보 겁나 인진 내내기 콩으로 말아베네 세보 겁나 마 직소소 님중도 배 집바 심고야 돼 되는 스가요 말해 세보검세 디시고 말해 제자단 하는 중에 두시네 시행기 지게 파 균주여라 소소 뉴겐 제반에 파 코로 말아왔지 무인이 수도 팀비 권에 덴바라 주치야 다 니니기 토네 소소 강아세 투야지 파 갑도 주하신 거로 봐 무인이 수도 팀에 덴바라 주치제 저런 디디기면도 저 디디기도 와 디제네 노후도 와서 김전 삼다 지 김전 씨 무의 뉴스 팀비 김전 씨 라죄제 안 거서 가드셔야 요마다 코로나 와이나 아 코로나 와이나 디 치긴가 봐셔야 안 디진진네 안지 가서 지금 기시당 같은데 직 노교 돈에 금지 잡나 쇼야 막 울리고 오와데 직 따다 마셔야 돼 제가 내내기 코로나 와는 직 노야 아니 지 류유 돈에 넘겨 두셔야 돼다 제베 라베기 파니도 따야다 내내기 그 증야 되냐가 여바데디 라신이가 강하래 제가 저버 검시도 파 코로 말라 바지 셈 맞추 바지 소소 셈 맞추 바 코로 말라 바 되시네 아니 니 코로 말로 셈 맞추 바이나 소소게 삼다디 리버디 야이 공고래 샘추 콘라인데 뒤 분이 김제 시어가 되셔 된다고 말해 제가 샘 맞추 보 콘로 말라 바시 찌찌 좀 장자 되게도 샘 회례 되게도 아니 분이 시어가 되게 김제 되게 딱다 가르가르 시어 딱다 된다고 제가 내니게 토네 파 아니 제 강아세 되게 주야 파 안지 두스네 제고야 돼 디차고로 와 내니게 세보 공부하되 디용구리 세월 제가 사바도 아주 그 시안이야 잠바다 인제 고묘도 시행이 되는 균주지도 인제에서 배선마다다 코로콘라디 리고 말 인제다 코론 그 셈 투도 하고 인제다 선비게 제 대코레 대화 용어 막 하고 강아 여 인제에서 배선 제가 잠니 주고 비게 주도 시행이 소소려 코로나 내버려 직진나 파셔려 코로나에 잡려야 어디 인제 선비게 잠재대 삼기 레투보라 제대로 인제 딱걸이야 가요 말에 코 코로나데 심 추두와다 코 기부요 말에 인제 아선베 삼노데 리고 딱걸이야 디지 구고를 했음베게 딱걸이야 디지 되어다 코 동화세 삼노데 인지 기투고 말데 될이야 코로고 코리리고 말 지산 잠재 공부이나 데니기 안에 예만들 개발 연구래
Whilst it certainly should be recognized that it is true that on an immediate effect of being angry and responding to anger with anger may be that a situation it comes to a quick end, that especially if your response is able to dominate the other person, suppress them, so that they perhaps shut up or they go away from you, then one can say yes, in the immediate term there was some benefit. But in the longer term, for yourself and for that person, there is no benefit. In fact, there is only harm. Certainly for you as a practitioner, Your affliction has just been strengthened again. The opportunity to cultivate a virtuous mind of patience was lost. But here then, let's look at what patience means from the Buddhist perspective. Patience then is defined as a mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. An undisturbed mind is not a weak mind. It's not the mind of someone who's being treated like a doormat. A mind that is undisturbed is a mind that is calm and at peace, and thereby it's a mind through which one can think clearly. Just like in your own life, when you're making plans, trying to solve a problem, if one's mind is undisturbed, one can think clearly. The patient response is, in the face of aggression, one's mind stays calm. Afflictions do not arise, or if they do, you deal with them quickly, your mind is calm, and you can think how best to respond. If you're angry, all one does is respond with aggression. Or if one is intimidated, one's facial expression will show aggression or that one is being intimidated. One cannot respond with freedom. But if one's mind is calm, one can think about how best to respond. Should I stay quiet? Should I acknowledge faults where I have because I have done something wrong? Or is this person receptive to me to right now explain to them what actually happened and thereby diffuse the situation? Or if they're not receptive, should I perhaps say to them, I'll think about what you said, thank you, and we'll talk later once I've thought about it. And in that way, diffuse the situation. A patient person is someone whose mind is undisturbed in the face of adversity and therefore can think clearly. But that's a part of the practice of patience, which is that one can respond skillfully. The other part is what enables someone to be patient, because patience isn't, as we understand it in society, merely staying quiet, but it is one's mind being free. And what leads one's mind to be free in the face of adversity is that one understands the mental process that has overwhelmed this person. And because one understands the mental process and is trained well in it, one is able to deal with one's own mind. If, for example, anger arises, one recognizes independence on meeting, or this person speaking to me in this way, pride and anger have arisen. They don't exist in the way they appear, and one lets them go. Because one has trained well, one also knows this person now is overwhelmed by their afflictions. Their ignorance of self-grasping has led to pride and anger exploding within them, and they're expressing it to you. This being before you is suffering. Their mind is overwhelmed by their afflictions. They are suffering right now. And not only are they in immense pain right now, they are creating the causes to suffer immensely in the future too. And because of one's training in compassion, compassion naturally arises. May the suffering being before me, may their afflictions abate, may they cultivate ever stronger virtuous minds and no longer be enraged over things of no real importance. This is what will arise in one. One will experience it as a sense, not in the way of these various thought processes that one would have done in meditation, but rather a tenderness for this obviously suffering being. And that tenderness will guide, together with wisdom, how one responds. So one will respond either with silence, either with explaining what happened, or either thanking them for bringing a fault that you made to your attention. One will respond with wisdom, love, and compassion. Because these will genuinely be arising within one, independent on one's prior training.
Pajolia, 나도 파주기 콩로 디디 투 지데디 시에디 소소 잠제 또 공부하는 잠지기 뉴비 톱기 파주기 콩로 디시 투그리에 세지 콩로 시 투그리에 아니 파주디레 잠제 수 투고레 시고로 지자디니 자 나도 베르 샤베네 제 부우지 무비네 나도 소소라 부우 요요네 부우지 무비네 부딜야 무디급리야 콜야 뻬치 제 뻬치 주보다 직가 직고 나저 직 제베네 콜야 마마도 곧 이해시오 말와 안데야 지금 두시는 밤이 같이 와서 부디 무디가리 부디 빼 전부 제다 아니 냠바 제다 전부 제도 부디 지 무에 파 잠샤지는 게임셔야 파마리아 야제 직 두시네 제 샤고로 딩한테 통치스기 벌어와 제가 잠제기 파주 콜에다 마기바디 마시 투고레 디지스 투고 바데 And the make another chipero shed and the Duabato the Kiru, Chigidina, Sojang, Sosmaga, Apti, Sojang, Yunguva, the Gimene, and Delia, and the Power Conology, called the Kid Duke, the Allegatina, the Jews, and called the Magic Dendalo, Collier, Dora, Shushin, and Tigger, Jawara, Shuene, and the Gatina, and Dulu, Dure, but the Kidding, and the Mitongo, and the Kid Goyo, and then the Kidding Akure, Kijaki, the Winnie Seria, and the Yungure. She's not that. Dinesa da kidi tukonla da pa ko sosolya di mahawa di meba soya dondala kola jamba de tsewa che anjik diwa jige nyemba ro ji cheji ne kola saya ro kola ngawo pa si te di chibe ne ane gedi ne ni nimi ji ge jig je ni ji de ani nimi ji ko an tulya ka wu cha je an je ma ne nga de mi de tu ho de ne ba ji wu di yu che su yong yong ma de nyem de ji yong an che do che go ro ba che na di sosu gi jam ji nyam ne di sosol la di gi yo ba ma ze mi shen ji ne se ma ki ba de tu de ba di ji kon de ma shi tu ye gi jam ji gi ni ba de yong go re che sa sosu gi jam ji ko ba jam ba de wo ko ma sosol le ning do 이제 인도당 안 지게 배 통총 나빠 신고에 차고 말해 딜을 하고도 인도다 잠 인도 체지고래 지선 신기 강아세야 디 오다 되네 세고 숨비게 남산 될야 강아세야다 걸레 디기 주에게 탑람 비즈찬 따야래 인도 체용 거래지 지선 이제 잠세세야디 배 마싱한들 상신 니가래 디기 용하게 규자와디 당한데 잠세 공부래 세지 숨고래
Continuing to look at this meditation on patience, when one is encountering a person who's clearly disturbed, their afflictions have overwhelmed them. In dependence on one's prior training on both cultivating the wisdom realized emptiness, which means one's come to understand well how our mental process works, as well as generating a genuine wish, may others be freed of suffering and abide in happiness, and cultivated thereby a tender connection with others. Immediately this will arise when encountering such a person. One will also have the knowledge, through understanding how the mind works, that the response of anger is never justified. It just makes things worse. When it's like two fires meeting each other, the flames will just get stronger. And even if it, as mentioned previously, one is angry and the person leaves, those embers will burn in both your hearts. This is contrary to what we long for. And likewise, many of you are parents, and you'll know with your own children that when they're crying and they're upset, if you shout at them or you beat them, this is just going to hurt them more immediately and leave scars on their mind. Whereas if you hold your dear child close, that will comfort them, ease their pain. Or you distract them from their worry by giving them a treat, that will ease their mind. That is a much more skillful way. Another illustration that I call to mind often is if you imagine this particular route that you have to walk along every day, and on that route, a house has a vicious dog, and every day you walk past it, the dog rushes through the fence, barking aggressively, clearly wanting to bite you if it had the opportunity. But if one has meditated well on cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness, so one knows the mind and has developed love and compassion for all beings, one will recognize that the suffering sentient being, this dog, It's just lost control of its mind. It's out of its mind. Its ignorance of self-grasping has led to this aggression. And they, and this dog now is seeing you as a potential threat to its home and to its family. So when one recognizes that, one feels compassion for the suffering being. And to change the situation, one knows throwing sticks and or hitting with a stick or throwing a stone at the dog may make it back away, but it will suffer more. So one, the next day, will bring a treat because you know you have to walk this way, and you'll throw a treat to the dog. And you'll do this for 2 or 3 days. And very quickly, the dog will no longer see you as an enemy, but now as a friend, as part of its family. So in these illustrations, one sees how the power of meditating on love and compassion, and this conjoined with the wisdom understanding reality, that love and compassion will naturally grow stronger within us, will be our innate response to difficult circumstances. And such a person is not weak. A patient person is not weak. Rather, they have a deep inner confidence, a strength of mind. And this comes from these meditations of love and compassion conjoined with wisdom and leads them to move through society with confidence that they can not only deal with challenges, but they can ease the suffering of others whilst doing so. So we took a little detour in the last few points, looking at patience. To go back to what we looked at a few segments ago, of building the minds of love and compassion, this, through developing a tender connection to others, one will sincerely want all beings to abide in happiness, which is the mind of love, freed of all suffering and pain, the mind of compassion. These two minds, as I've said now in the immediately preceding segments, are incredibly important, and I hope you are encouraged to develop love and compassion further within yourselves and recognize that it comes about independence on the prior meditations, giving rise for oneself to be freed of the sufferings of samsara. That is the basis to develop genuine love and compassion for others. Love and compassion, though, whilst indispensable and of such great importance, can also be recognized, though, as being quite limited, in that it is the sincere and genuine wish may each and every being, without exception, abide in lasting happiness, completely freed from pain and suffering. It's incredibly important. These are incredibly important minds, but they only go that far. But the more one meditates, developing love and compassion, coming to this point of may all beings abide in lasting happiness, freed of pain and suffering, as this grows ever more powerful within one, in dependence on that, naturally the thought will come. It is my responsibility to help them. It is my responsibility. I cannot leave the sincere love and compassion as a mere expression of hope. I have the capacity to gain freedom from samsara in its entirety. And if I have this capacity, so too do other beings. All they need is what I have. All they need is a skilled, wise, spiritual teacher to guide them in how to cultivate the causes for happiness and abandon the causes for suffering. And this is what I'm doing. So if I can do this, so too can they. What they lack is a skilled spiritual teacher. It's not right that I make the most of this opportunity, but leave them to languish without hope. Those that I have connection with now, to the extent that they are receptive, I need to have a direct, positive impact on their life. Not just merely to ease their suffering and not to add, and merely add to their burden or pain, but to guide them in what are the actual causes of happiness and how to cultivate them, and what are the actual causes of suffering and how to abandon them. This is my responsibility. But I lack the skill. I'm nowhere near as developed as my spiritual teacher. I have to develop myself further, just like he has. I too need to become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides. I have to attain enlightenment. Because it's only when I too am enlightened that I can be a perfected being and the most skillful of spiritual teachers. And I'm going to commit myself to strive to attain enlightenment. And whilst I am progressing from here to this attainment of the final state, I will help others in the most meaningful of ways. And where they are not yet receptive, I will help them in minor ways. But I will help them. Their attainment of freedom from suffering is my responsibility. So here, the meditation progresses further, where we take love and compassion and develop it to the point where we take responsibility for the welfare of others. This mind is called the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, or also translated as special intention. And this is where we take responsibility for the welfare of all sentient beings. And this then is closely followed by the generation of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, which is the determination to fulfill this responsibility. And in to do so, I don't have the skill now. I have to become a Buddha. I have to attain enlightenment. This is the mind of enlightenment, or bodhicitta, the determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others so that we can ease their suffering. So we've gone through the development of the meditation in some detail. We'll conclude there then for this morning. And if you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. Seppel?
I'm just wondering, just in terms of the text, is there something explicit in the verse that is indicating that methods are?
In the verse?
The question is, it's in verse 10, which we've looked at in the session. Is there anything explicit there in relation to the method side or the meditations that have been presented?
Immersive
most minwa dinare kare osne kare sur me hop da devi tuma khowa le ti chan ja des jena di diring ngar yoya gi kyuti ke pangu gure la ro gyuti ke pangu tuma yoya gyuti pangu re la ngo so di she be ge shu la kali go osne di gyu yoya gyuti tu ku gure si gure jena di gyu yoya gyuti kare sen dis dis re sen ngo ta che dis gure.
And so you're correct, the method side of the Mahayana isn't explicitly stated here, but rather, especially for those who are drawn to this tradition, they are likely to have strong imprints for the Mahayana. So when meditating in this way, giving rise, recognizing the causes that keep one bound in the suffering realms of samsara, they will more readily recognize others on this place, and when they recognize that freedom is possible, they'll recognize that others can attain freedom too. So in this way, those who have an inclination for Mahayana will indirectly read the Mahayana meditation in there.
There's also a question the other day that came up in the discussion group. So I'd like to hear Geshe's response. And it was about when Geshe was mentioning about perfect human rebirth, but also the other results, of course, that the first four were really explicit how they worked, that with aspirational prayers, who are you really praying to, because your spiritual path is your own responsibility, and what are you actually praying for, because the Buddha's cover all things.
In the four or five causes to cultivate to attain a good, a precious human rebirth, the fifth or the final cause is that of prayer. So can Gana say a bit about further about prayer in that to whom is one praying and for what? Yeah, and for what? Okay.
Any
밀리 토베야 또 토베 토베 된데레 개위 냠내 제야다 라마라 소버 체야디 고합디 인디기 슈킨디 용고레 제레 다 몰람 자고하다 디레세 다 몰람 잡스디 몰람 잠 랍디다 아주 개와소소 두 메나 마제베네 아직 어디니 용어 쇼세디 몰람 자지어로 디니 용어 쇼세베 삼다이시로 니기 진체네 아주리아 지게 용어에게 아니 고합시라고 레제레 지자당 디지 야슈 모주 세르키 시오마 당아도 몰람 제디 몰람 제르 수수 개화디 파 우우어다 수수 개화 사샤바는 우우어레 지자다 개화 사 메바나 제화르 지 몰람 세레 제화르 지 나딘디지 라와 쇼 선비게 삼도 제화 제야지어바 디 제화 제화 제바이나 제화 디오바이나 마오바네 디기 라헤기 쳬바르가다 제화 메나 디기 나레 제화 메라네 라헤기 고갑 추와요레 저와 옛날에 고급 라이크 여러분 인자 몰람 전에 인지 미지다 죽투 그래라는데 내가요 말해 저와 저거다 저와 저거로 봐 대도 뭐가 접세대 개화디 우월디 제부대 교화 쇼서 우월로 봐
So to first answer your question directly and then to answer probably what you really want the meaning behind the answer so to whom does one express prayers, though that is to the three jewels. And for what? To attain a good rebirth. So that's the to whom, and the for what. So how does that sit with our understanding of Buddhism? So here then, let's talk about the difference between prayer and dedication. So here the word prayer is used, but the meaning in this context is dedication. But first let's look what one should understand as prayer. And it's a mere expression of aspiration in order to receive, an expression of hope or aspiration in order to receive inspiration. That was the word. An expression of aspiration in order to generate inspiration. Dedication is quite different, but also it's the same. The difference with dedication is it follows the accumulation of merit. And it dedicates that accumulation of merit in the direction of the aspiration or the prayer that is being expressed. So just to repeat that second bit and then continue with Genla's answer. So prayer is an expression of aspiration by which one generates inspiration for oneself to move forward and fulfill one's aspiration. Dedication is similar, but one is dedicating merit, which means one is dedicating that virtuous energy, this virtuous karma, that we're going to use the word potential, this karmic potential is being dedicated in the direction of one's aspiration. Without dedication, one will still have accumulated this variety of causes, but they're not so well directed. Results will follow from them, but lacking direction, they will not flow in the stream that one actually hopes for. To repeat an illustration in a different context was, if you know you need to get up the next morning, you set the aspiration, tomorrow morning I need to wake up early. And then one is likely to do so. Without setting the aspiration, you still know you need to get up early. You may do so, you may not. So therefore, in this context, the term that's used is always, as in the context of precious human rebirth, the term that is always used is prayer. But because it follows these virtuous practices, it is actually a dedication of merit. So if you understand it then as dedication, then it will be clearer as expressed.
So, 개화디마 뉴메스에게 냥아치보여레시레 냥아치보여레스 제상아주 개화사샤바데 개화디 모바이나 땅무카나로 무디 무카나 죄바나 지바레 바라디로 코로나 녀모 슈치부께나 개화 좀 두고 말해서 그걸 따라 뉴버 라이레스 제자디 무이 무카나로 죄바다 제 죄바디 땅아주 개화세디 아주 무이나신체 Dingwa Jeffsay, Dingwana, Jovana, Jibares, or Chetan, Mukana, Jeshava, and Temba Nigorwa, Dina Singha to Gawa, Dingwa, Majaba, Chekawa Sashwana, Paradel Kondo, and Yomo Shuchimakina, Gawa, the man, Numation, Jomegi, Nyanga, Yores, Jomja, Dineza, Gawa Jeffshavana, Din Jumbares, Zenade, because the Chuchibachi, Dinego Pogala Shashane, Chigi Nimasuva, and Lamsan Gamto, and Yanga Yores, Chudipa, Jasona, Lushavana, Just so Macon Bardu Chidi Hadi, it is. Just like Dinza, Nanjuga Jabaina, Nanjugi, Simjan Tamjig, Sanjo Koba, to be Yu or Shosanga Jabaina, Simjan Tamja Sanjo Koba, Matu, you bought the Kiwi, nobody dig or is. Sanjo Koba, Topna, and Kiwi, nobody, and Shan, and Pembe, Jaw to Yung or is it. Then what Jabu, you can tell that Piero is disorder.
To give an example to illustrate the difference between dedicating and not dedicating. So both. In both instances, one has accumulated virtue, perhaps meditate on ethical restraint, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. If one doesn't dedicate that merit, it can be likened to having some money, and which you are slowly saving to buy something, but you keep it at home, this pile of money. When one dedicates, it dedicates the merit, it's likened to receiving money, which is one is slowly saving to buy something, and opening a specific bank account and putting it in there and slowly saving up. So in both cases, one has the aspiration to eventually buy something, therefore one is saving money for it. But where the money is just being put in a drawer at home, it's kind of likely that over the months that one needs to save, that sometimes you'll borrow a little bit from it, needing to get something along the way. And that will impede the attainment of the result you want, or being able to buy something you're saving for. Whereas if the money is in the bank and every month you're putting a little bit more, then that is quite safe. And in the planned number of months, you'll have enough saved and you'll be able to buy it. This is the same as with dedicating or not dedicating merit. If it's dedicated, it's like taking some water and placing it in the ocean. It will dissipate amongst the ocean, not getting lost, as opposed to just leaving it in a puddle in the sun where it will evaporate and be lost. Because when we dedicate well with sincerity and a focused mind, that virtue is dedicated to a particular result and will abide eventually leading to the ripening of that result. Merit that's not dedicated can easily be lost. And it's lost by the arisal of afflictions. And afflictions in particular, anger, will serve to suppress or make it difficult for that merit to ripen, or for the strength of that merit to be greatly weakened, and therefore not contribute well to the attainment of the results. So therefore, dedicating and not dedicating brings about the attainment of the desired result much more quickly, or brings about the attainment of the desired result with certainty, because the merit is being directed in a specific way. Whereas if one does not dedicate, it can be easily lost.
Okay.
Then thank you very much.